take the ashes and we should put it to the Ganga. Now what do we do? I want to read something by Jayapataka Maharaj, who wrote very nice when one young congregational member who was aspiring to become his disciple had died, and he wrote very nicely, "I'm feeling a mixture of sadness and happiness at the same time. Sadness that we won't see her here anymore, and happy that she could chant Hare Krishna and receive Ganga's water and other auspicious items." The system is that after the third or seventh day after her departure, a Smriti Sabha, or remembrance gathering, should be held. Devotees and relatives who knew her and any other devotees and congregational members can be invited. Smriti Sabha, I hear you want to know how to write this. Sabha is meeting, and Smriti means remembering. Maybe you can just keep the pen, and when I need it, I will take it from you. What you do is, after the third or seventh day, you come together. Oh, Gaura Singha. You come together and you talk about the qualities of the person. Like, someone will come and say, "Gaura Singha was from Macedonia, but he tried his best and had many good qualities." And you talk about the person. And you know, what was good about him. Don't talk about the bad things, please. Then you should praise and glorify him. And many times you will see, I mean, I did this a few times, you will just all of a sudden feel the emotions coming up, and you go like, "Boom!" This is natural. What can be done? We are human beings. And then you should offer a feast for the last time. Senior devotees can give philosophical instructions suitable to the occasion, citing the relevant verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and showing that the destination of so-and-so is very good. Then you should take a picture of that person and place a whole plate of offered foodstuffs before that picture, so that he or she can, so to say, symbolically eat her last prasad. And this food, don't eat it yourself. Put it near some lake or a river so that the wild animals can take it, but it's not good if you take it. This is a ceremony, for a small and simple ceremony which can be done, which helps us to remember a person. Now, I thought I would go now a little bit to your questions. I personally do like this part very much. But do you have any, need the chair here, do you have any questions regarding this? Just this ceremony. Take the body, put tilak and so on. Puttavasa. It depends. The soul, it depends how attached the soul is. I once spoke to one devotee who was dying in the hospital on the phone. It was a very nice devotee, Rati was her name, and she was in a cancer hospital and wanted to arrange a preaching program for me. There are about 70 terminally ill, that is, dying patients would be rolled in their beds in the hall, and I would preach to them. So I went with her, and she said, after we had talked about the program, how to arrange it, she said, "Shashi Nandan Swami, you have no idea. My body is only bones and cancer. But my attachment to the body is still so strong. I don't want to go. I don't want to give it up. Although there's nothing, I can't use it. It's totally sick. Now I understand how strong the false ego is." And she was crying. We brought her out of the hospital because she was going to die for sure, and we brought her to the farm where we helped her in a nice surrounding. And finally, when the death came, she was breathing her three breaths, and she smiled and said, "Krishna," and left. A very nice devotee. At that time, I was sleeping in Berlin in a bed, and just when she was going to give up her body, I was waking up, because I knew now she needs all support. I jumped out of the bed and chanted, because I just knew this is now the time that I should believe. So when the soul is attached, at that time, yes, it will be very difficult to go, even if you leave the body. But if you can sever or cut the attachment, Bhutavasa, then it will be quite easy to leave. But it's not so easy. See, you can leave from Goloka Dham and come to Ljubljana without a problem, because you're going with the same body. But to leave the body and never to return, it means to leave everything, your relatives, your wife, your friends, your Renault car, your whatever. You never return. It is some a new dimension. Okay, so I hope that I will have interesting questions for you. Yeah, I have two. It is said that at the time of death, the mind gets completely crazy. How is it possible to remember Krishna at that time? Very good question. At the time of death, our body and our mind is dissolved. That is a fact. Mid-yutam, if you are fixed in Krishna consciousness, your mind is fixed on a mute material platform. In other words, it's not affected by the chaos and turbulence which goes on the material platform. You are on the spiritual platform, fixed. You can practice this in this life. Sometimes your life will become also totally crazy. If you are on a spiritual platform at that time, you will not become affected. You can see all the devotees. The world can go crazy around them. Because they are on the spiritual platform, they don't mind. They can even become sick, very sick, and they remain in their consciousness. It's only the body. Whoever has asked this, this is a very important question, and I want to thank you very much. This you have to practice in this life also. If you cannot learn to ignore your mind or the material circumstances, if you always become affected, you have still a long way to go in your spiritual life. You're still a maladeta in your spiritual life. Have you seen the maladeta? One time the maladeta is the next moment he begins to cry as if the world has been finished. And then you find out what happened is someone just stepped maybe a little bit on his toy dog, you know, and the toy dog made meow. You know, we have this, I don't know if you have it here. You know, and he begins to become, from one moment to the next, totally disturbed. Many young devotees are in the same situation spiritually. If you practice it, you won't be disturbed. Even at the time of death, Krishna says it. Even at the time of death. You never know what happens. Sometimes I had such wild questions. Does one visit the hellish planets only in a subtle body? Yes. You cannot go there in a gross body, just like you cannot go into the outer space in this body. You need to have a suit which is adapted to this climate up there. Hare Krishna. So nice to draw a question. Where do these days so-called Christians, pious but meat-eaters, go after death? Mm-hmm. There are four questions, so I will take this question, I will answer this question and put it back. Well, I put it here. When we run out of questions, I go back to those. The meat-eating Christians have a mixture of pious activities, like they give maybe donations to a worthy cause, and a mixture of impious activities, like they eat meat and so on. And pious and impious deeds will be put on the karma scale, you know, and it will be determined what is more, and then they will take the birth accordingly. Hare Krishna. We heard that all fears are actually coming from the fear of death. And I would like to know how to fight against all those fears, because it is very difficult to overcome the fear of death. Well, you are right. See, after you have gone through this seminar, you might like to go through the tapes again, or through your own notes again, and then come to work with this. You can overcome the fear of death when you understand it's a lie. It's not there. When you understand that you are an eternal soul, then you know, I will never die. You can meditate like this. I have a body, but I am not the body. I have a mind with thoughts, but I am not the mind. I have emotions, but I am not the emotions. If you meditate like this, you will slowly arrive to the position where you understand, I am an eternal soul. It is not easy, but this is why you have joined the Krishna conscious movement. This is what you can get here. Many women come because here one can get nice mushs. Many men come because one can get position and friends. But don't forget, you can get spiritual life here, above the social dimension. Yes. Hare Krishna. One more. You have also nice questions. You said that everyone fears death. What about those who commit suicide? Sometimes the person who commits suicide has the feeling that his life is worse or more problematic than death. There are examples of people who suffer very, very much. Mediutim, they do not know that at the time of death, when they jump from the building, they will have a tremendous awakening. Their life is even more, will become more problematic, because they will lose the body, have all the material desires, and no possibility to fulfill them. You were seeing our douche, our ghost, who was trying to break into a cigarette automat and smoke the cigarette, but who couldn't. Yeah. It is so extremely painful and terrible to be in the body of a ghost, but people don't know about this. I want to tell you a story. One of our congregational members was so much in pain before he came to Krishna consciousness, means he was so disturbed by his life, that he climbed on the 14th story of a skyscraper, something like a skyscraper. Skyscrapers are much higher, but 14th story, wie sagt man, Hochhaus, one says. It's not really a sky, but very high. And he was getting ready to jump. And there were people who wanted to have some entertainment. They said, Deutsche, Deutsche, come, come, jump. And he was like, getting ready to jump. Then finally, he remembered, someone who looked happy had given me a book called The Science of Self-Realization. What am I doing here? I must read this book first. Maybe some helpful instructions are in there. He went home, he read the book, and he decided to not commit suicide afterwards and become a congregational member. I hope he is still a congregational member, but I do not know really. So my point is, there are many people who suffer tremendously and who think by killing themselves they can escape, but it is not so. It is an illusion. So I will have now one more point, and then we will go to make a little pause. I will talk about the fear of death, just like you were explaining. Do you? I think some of you have heard about the poet Hermann Hesse. Hesse used to say, "Against death, I do not need any weapon, because death doesn't exist. But there is something. It's fear of death. And this fear can be cured." How to cure fear? Fear of death. This word is a word, oh yeah, danke. Of Kunta, or another that is fear. Oops. Another word is Bhaya. Bhaya means also fear. There are four impulses in this world. eating, sleeping, mostly it comes after eating, sex, and fearing. We often say also defending. We are afraid. It is natural in the in this life to have fear from all kinds of things. It's as natural as to feel hungry or to have the sexual drive. It's very natural. It will come to every one of us. Now the spiritual world is called Vaikuntha, the place without fear. There is Vai means without. It is not existing. The place without fear is called Vaikuntha. This is the spiritual word. To lose fear, you really need to come to the spiritual platform. See, it's so easy for us to go through any door. When we go through this door, we don't think twice. But the death, this door of death, is so problematic. Isn't it, Purnamasi? You never think when you go through any door. You could just go, shwoop, and you don't even think. You just think, is it high enough so that I don't go with bang my head? But that's the only thought you have. Because you are so attached to the body, therefore, this fear of death is there. The greatest knot to the material body, or that which makes the attachment very much, it is called sexual attachment. By this, the knot of your attachment to the material world is made. Therefore, in temples, we always sit separately. The man does not sit together with the woman, because a temple is a place where spiritual activities are done, and this concentration on spiritual subjects are made. In temples, we like to keep a little separate. We don't sleep in the same room. The Grihasthas also don't sleep in the same room if they want to be a little spiritually minded, and so on. Because the attachment is something very problematic. See, in this world, you are all spoiled. You have been taught to increase the attachment. Eat more. Dress better. Look at TV. Put schminka on your eyes and ears and everywhere so that you look attractive to the women, to the man, and that the man can become attracted to you. Cut your hair in new styles so that you will be noticed. But all this is very dangerous. You're drinking poison, the poison of material attachment, and it will be extremely difficult at the time of death to say goodbye to the body. It's not possible if you have fed your whole life on attachments. The Vedic civilization is meant to transfer this attachment which we have in this world to the opposite sex, to Krishna, by chanting his holy name, by serving him, and so on. This does not mean that we become cold-hearted in our relationships between husbands and wives, or even brahmacharis, and so on. No, but we become very careful to not increase attachments any longer. Please, I know here in this area of the world where we have so much emotions, which I think is not bad, we sometimes become afraid. Oh, now he's talking about attachments, but he's a sannyasi. This is not relevant to me. Please allow me to keep my attachments. You have to think each one in your own life how you will do this. But if you want to go through the door of death and not be reborn again, you need to make the attachments less. Hare Krishna. I'm talking, these are important things. If we are now getting into how to prepare for death. And you have to think about this. And the best way to deal with attachments, really, is to transfer them to Krishna. If you do not do this, it will be very, very difficult. Transfer your attachments to a fulfilled spiritual life with nice Krishna conscious activities inside. Have a mission in your life. Don't be a bored person who can only spend time before the video set and feel some jivotsky. You need to work on this on your own. I would like to talk about giving up attachments or increasing attachments. Maybe I can do this tomorrow morning in my morning class, if you want to know more about it. I will now say to you, thank you. You have earned yourself your first pause for today. You please come back after 15 minutes. Then we will go into good examples of people, mundane people and spiritual people who have left their material bodies successfully, who have learned the art of giving up attachments and dying peacefully. Okay, Hare Krishna. I want to make sure. Is it all right for you if we always put a few questions in the beginning? It helps the subject matter. Is good. We hear a lot of stories of people leaving their bodies and coming back. And a lot of them say that it was a very nice experience. How is it possible, although they didn't live very saintly? Is the question clear? I feel it's a... Yes. This is what happens. According to Valadev Vidyabhushana, when we leave the material body, we first see the results of our good karma. A Christian, for instance, may hear the ring of bells. Boom, gong, boom, gong, boom, gong. And then, after he has seen heavenly scenes, there are two possibilities. One is that some being comes to him and tells him, it's not yet time for you to leave the body. In my case, I had this that Krishna told me personally, you have to return, don't worry. And these people then, after having seen the results of their good karma, come back into their life and continue their earthly lives. The others, who don't return, usually don't report. But what they see is also the good karma, and then they go on. Sometimes, however, it is the other way around. That is, people come, leave the body, and they see very hellish scenes. And I have read those scenes, some of the scenes for you, so that you, you know, when someone saw his body was covered with snakes and all these things. Do you know where you are? these whole things. So either they see their good karma, which is most of the cases, the case, or they see their bad karma. They have like a glimpse and then return. What is the role of the guru when the disciple leaves his material body? And what if a devotee doesn't have a guru yet? This question will be dealt with in the seminar, but to make sure, I will give it to my assistant. I will tell you a very moving story. I actually have made a radio play out of it, where a disciple leaves the body and the guru comes and helps her. Does everybody have the same number of breathings prescribed for by karma? Or those who die traumatically have less of breathings? Well, if you die traumatically, you know, in the case of an accident or murder or so, it's generally that this is also your karma. Generally. So, yes, say a young person dies with 22 years in a car accident, that was determined by karma, and in this way also the number of breaths were determined by karma. Put this here. Oops. Is it that in the moment of death, all our desires and contaminations, like strong lust and enviousness, come upon us if we are not purified enough? In other words, at the moment of death, do I see all my, thank you, all my dirt coming up to me? Yes, at the moment of death you see where you really are. There is a verse which says, death is the final test. All your bhajan, all your kirtan, all your service, all this will be tested at death. Because at that moment you can't play any role or any show, not before others and not before you. Be prepared. It's sometimes death is called the final examination. It's nice, these questions, isn't it? They make sorry, I said the subject is so serious. I said, nice, isn't it? Hare Krishna. Difficult to say after you have just heard something very something very serious. How much time does the soul need to come into the new body? Is it days, months, years? Two questions. This goes here. Okay. A very good question. How much time? Well, again, it depends on your karma. It can, usually it's very fast. Even someone who goes to the hellish planets, they go in an area where time is perceived in a different way. In other words, a person who goes to hell may experience it as being like 1 year in hell, but in actuality, it's as fast as a dream. Because like the dream, which is on a subtle platform, the residence in hell is also on a subtle platform, where you go with your subtle body. So therefore it goes, can go very fast. Have you ever dreamt maybe a long, long dream, a long life, when you wake up and you find out you had only a dream of 15 minutes? Very often happens to me because I'm accustomed to take short rests sometimes when I'm tired in the day, and I have dreams and I wake up and I'm asking, for instance, in the car, I'm asking Shashidhar, how long did I sleep? And he tells me that only half an hour or only 15 minutes. And I think, ooh, if you would know what I have experienced. It took me a whole year. So the relative platforms. So the it's sort of like this. This will be the last question. What happens to those who die immediately in some accidents? Do their physical and subtle body go through the phases of dying described on the paper you gave us? No, those who die in an accident, it goes very, very fast. They sometimes almost catapulted out of the material body. It goes very, very fast. It's very traumatic. Imagine, you know, you die in an accident. It goes so fast. You have to say goodbye so fast. Sometimes it's much too fast for the person who dies. And he just... He is still there at the place of the accident, hovering around his body. In this way, that movie which you have seen, the Hollywood movie, was correct when Sam was shot. You know, he still was around the body, which was in the arms of his girlfriend, who cried, help, help, can you please get someone to help, and so on. Yes. Therefore, when we pass by accidents, what we always do is we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so that maybe the person who is still there in his subtle body, but whom we can't see, hears the spiritual sound vibration of the holy name. That's what we usually do. A little while ago, we were in Basel, and there was someone who had apparently just fallen on the ground. He wanted to enter into a trolley or a tram. How do you say tram? Tram, yes. But maybe it was a heat stroke or something, and he was lying there, and some people were, you know, trying to help him in some ways. And we immediately rolled down the window, immediately chanted very, not very loud, but loud enough, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the mantra, so that he could hear. It's very important. Okay, so I thank you very much for these nice questions. I hope there's still many here. We will come later and we'll answer them all, if possible. Now I want to come to the last part of the seminar, which I personally think is also the highlight of the seminar. It's all right. In our civilization, there are many reactions to death. And I will read you from a diary of one Mr. V.N.P. Babylon. He said, oh, how humiliating it is to die. I fight and I cry when I think that such an unfair enemy is overcoming me. I'm an egoist and I hate death, because at that moment I have to stop to be. previous word about the criminals who were brought to the Shafat, and everyone stood around them and looking with them at them with a mixture of dread, fear, and adoration. Voltaire said about Rousseau that he wouldn't mind to be hanged if only his name would be put on the Shafat. But my own death would be something so small and so insignificant. Guy de Maupassant was dying in grand style, a man with a wonderful body who became crazy. Tusitala's death in the South Sea looks like a wonderful novel. Heine died after a difficult life but with a joke on his lips. But my death will be so insignificant. I will be dying in the boarding house in West Kensington Road. What a small tragedy. It is said to not even be someone at the time of death. This is not an enlightened death. Hermann Hesse wrote, "This morning I was thinking about the dirty hole in the graveyard in which one had put the unknown person. I'm thinking of the bored faces of the other Christians, and I can't even laugh about it. There, at this dirty hole, with all the foolish words of the preacher, our whole, not only the unknown person ends, no, in this dirty hole I will also sometimes be put under the dirt of all the lies of our civilization. Not only the unknown person, not only me will end in this dirty hole, but our complete culture, all our beliefs, all our joy in life will become thrown into this dirty hole. It is so sick." This is what the Steppenwolf says in Hermann Hesse's things. "We hope that no one of you will die in such illusions, so full of hate, so full of unfulfilled desires. We hope when your time comes, you will die like other examples." One example which I have here is something which I want to discuss with you. It's at the death of Sandra Peretti. Sandra Peretti was a writer and, as far as I know, an actress. She, yes, I don't know how old she was. She was very famous in Zurich. And she wrote a very interesting letter to say goodbye, which I want to read to you and discuss also with you. But before, I want to hint at you, Sandra Peretti didn't die a natural death. She committed suicide. In Switzerland, there is one organization called Exit, which helps people who have a terminal disease. Thank you. They give them some medicaments which are not really completely legal, but it's also not totally something in between. What they do in plain words is they help a person to commit suicide. So Sandra Peretti wrote and it came in the newspaper after my friends at the Zurich, at the Lake of Zurich, and all my friends in the world who were dear to me. I have celebrated with you many feasts, but you will remember that the one who left the feasts even before the candles had burned down and before the last sounds of the music became silent, the one who left you, that was me. Also at the end of my life, which was one big festival, I will leave you early, too early for some of you. The name of my disease is immaterial. I have, because I have done with my disease the same which I have done with my life. I embraced my disease, and look, it became my lover. And something else. The reason that I could make such an easy exit out of the life is due to the wonderful help of exit. My friends, would you ever be sad if I would have started to go on a journey? No. I had an easy life. It was like a symphony of Mozart. It was approaching, or is approaching, a wonderful feat. Let me just sit for a moment on my stolica. On my very nice stolica. Ooh. How long is the process of dying when the body starts to collapse until when you leave the body? Whew, it can be very, very, very long. According to the Vedic understanding, we are already dying. How old are you? 21, so young. You have died already 21 years. I know this is not your question. Your question is, what when I lie down, you know, for the real death? Yes, that sometimes it can happen that people lie in coma for 6 years and can't leave. In coma. It is totally dependent on your karma, really. But let us talk about the normal case, and I think you are interested in this, not in these extreme situations. The normal case is wait a minute, I'm writing a book about this, so I should really know. But I have four people who work with me, and they are in charge of all this. It really, there is no time which I can give you. Sometimes half a year. Sometimes only a few months. Sometimes minutes. People walk around, get a heart attack, and they die even before the ambulance is called. Now, I think you, as a devotee, want to know, do I have preparation time when it comes so all of a sudden? Yes, usually... it is said you can become Krishna conscious in 1 second if you take full shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Other questions? Very good question. I thank you very much. I was wishing to have a question like this. I have given up to make a drawing because Purnamasi is here and I'm totally ashamed before her. She can draw so nicely. Therefore, I make a schematic drawing. This is the gross body of five elements. Who knows what these five elements is? Yes. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And this is the subtle body. What are the subtle elements? Mind. Yes. And ego. False one. So, at the time of death, and this is the soul, okay? Atma. At the time of death, the soul goes with the subtle body out of the gross material body, and then it goes into a new material body. Yet this time, when the soul is not in the material body, not in the old material body, he becomes attracted by men and women who do sexual intercourse. The consciousness of man and woman at the time when they come together attracts a certain soul. Sometimes, especially women who are a little bit more sensitive than men for these things, they know and feel their baby before, whilst they're in the midst of being together with the husband in an intimate way. They feel he is somewhere in the room waiting. When that moment comes where the seed of the man is injected into the body of the woman, the soul goes into that seed and comes into the new womb, the new mother. Therefore, my dear devotees, many of you are grihasthas and might also become grihasthas in your future life. When you come together with your wife or with your husband, you must be very, very careful what consciousness you have. Please don't play around with lust and so on. But before you come around to do this, chant a minimum of 50 rounds. Yesterday, we were doing this together. We chanted even a little bit more than 50 rounds. And you know, those of you who did it, how exalted the consciousness is. It's totally different. One devotee told me, "Oh, Sachinanda Maharaj, when we chanted so long, I did not really know how blissful spiritual life is." We had yesterday at Namaruchi Club. I did not know how ecstatic it is. You know, when you have in this consciousness, when you say, "All right, now let's procreate a saintly person. We want only a sadhu." And then they come together procreate. Then a very saintly person is attracted and comes into the next life. If you don't do this, you will only get a problem child. Croatian or lusty Slovenian. Hare Krishna. So this question which you have asked is glorious because it will move us right into reincarnation. Yes. In the scriptures, we hear that the soul in the body Oh, I need to just... Please excuse me, I can't go so fast. I have something which I need. We hear some very, very interesting discussion about reincarnation, which I hope to finish in 15 minutes, and then we will have a long pause. 1 hour. Under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, and according to his karma, the living entity is put by the seed of the man into the womb of his next mother. On the first night, the semen and the egg mix. In the fifth night, the mixture is like melted together, and something like a bubble appears. In the tenth night, the bubble takes form. It looks like a plum. And then it becomes like a bunch of flesh. Within 1 month, the head appears. And after 2 months, hands, feet, and other forms appear. At the end of the third month, nails, finger, hairs, bones, and the skin, and also the genitals appear. And then eyes, nose, ears, mouth, and anus come. Within 4 months, the 7 essential parts of the body form, that is plasma, blood, flesh and muscles, fat tissues, bones, the inside of the bones, I do not know, Knochenmark, and the nervous tissue, and finally what you need to procreate. At the end of the 5th month, hunger and thirst become perceivable. And then at the 6th month, then the body is fully formed. It will move, if it's a male, on the right side of the body.
If it's a woman,
it will move on the left side of the body. I just remember, can you make your pantomime on reincarnation? We can talk about it. Dharanu, we have the greatest artist of the universe amongst us. So, at that time, the person is extremely susceptible or sensitive to different types of food. If the mother eats hot sabjis, the body of the little baby gets burned. Or if she smokes cigarettes and drinks alcohol. The consciousness of the little baby is right there from the beginning. One has made experience, for instance, when the mother was for 2 months pregnant, they played Beatles songs. She played Beatles songs. I want to hold your hand, and other such classics. And then it was only for 2 weeks, and then she stopped, but she heard very intensely the Beatles. Then when the baby was 2 years old, they again played the same songs morning to evening. I want to hold your hand, the baby, of the 2 months, the 2 years old baby, Maledetta, was showing signs of recognizing the music. It had heard it when it was 2 months in the womb. So then the living entity in the womb shortly before it comes out into the jivat, into the life, it begins to have a revelation. What the baby sees is his many lives which he had before. A series of pleasant and so-called unpleasant experiences. They all come back to memory. And the baby intuitively knows, now I will be born again and I will experience the same thing all over again. And let me tell you, it is totally unenthusiastic. It does not want to enter into the jivatsky, into the life. And then it begins to pray. Imagine some of you have prayed this prayer or something like this prayer when you were in the womb. Not the very, very simple ones, but many of you I have seen, whom I know, are pious souls who had spiritual life in a previous birth. These devotees have it more easier in their spiritual lives, and things are more clear, and they don't have to fight so much with atheism and fault finding and all these materialistic tendencies, because they are old, so they are long on the path of spiritual life already. So, but most of the souls, I would say maybe 90% of you here who have come to Krishna consciousness have prayed like this. Please remember this prayer now. Nasi dragi godospodin. This is not how you say it. Oh my Lord, when will I, the wretched soul, get freedom from this prison? My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, I have been awoken to consciousness. Although I am only 9 months old, for this I am so grateful. Although, my dear Lord, I am living now in this womb of my mother, pressed together, I do not want to come out, because I fear that I will again fall into the dry well of materialistic living. I'm afraid that your external energy, Deva Maya, will come and overpower my consciousness, and again I will be full of false ego. Now, my dear Lord, without being any more agitated, I want to come out of this by the help of my friend, clear consciousness. And I want to dedicate my life to the lotus feet of Sri Vishnu. In this way, I will be saved, and I will not be forced to take my birth again in the body of many mothers. Now, this is the prayer of the embryo. If you want to read it in your own time, this is it's not the very best translation, because I have translated it from a translation from the German. But you can read it in the Srimad Bhagavatam, please note, 3rd canto, 31st chapter, verses 17 to 22. I must tell you that I'm often reading these verses because it helps me to dedicate my determination. It helps me to focus on my duchone, my spiritual goal. And it says, the living entity has these desires while it's situated in the womb of the mother. But whilst it praises the Lord, the heavy winds come and heavy motions, which press him out of the body of the woman, and then it is born. And usually it happens exactly how the soul, what the soul was afraid of. He forgets everything, the world around himself, more or less forces him to identify with his material body. Oh, you are such a nice maledetta. And they train him in the bodily consciousness of life so that he totally forgets the three traumatic experiences which we have discussed, that is dying, death, and reincarnation. Hare Krishna. So this is what I wanted to explain today. I'm very proud of our seminar. We are 7 minutes too early, which is very good. I have one suggestion. If you do have any questions, please do it like we do on my regular seminars. Write it on a piece of paper, and Srishti Kata, who is my helper and assistant, can collect these pieces of paper, and then we have like a nice box, and it can be filled. Actually, what we can do is, maybe I can ask Nandi Mukhi to make a little, you know, a little like a box with something like a cloth over it and a schlitz. And then we can put our questions in the schlitz, and in this way, schlitz is a verb, yes, slit, yeah, and it can go inside. And then I know a little bit what questions you have, and I can pull them, you know, I can pull them out, and I can answer them. This would help me very much. Oh, Krishna, I'm very happy. This is, you can't imagine how strenuous it is for me, because I have a million informations and I must just pull what is relevant for the audience. But I do know that there are many more. You had a list of 15 things, and I requested you to put them in the order. What of these 15 things which were in the airplane are most important so that you can survive? Can I hear what was most important? Compass, water, map, kata. Mirror for Shminka. What was with the box with 1,000 salt tablets? What? 5? 9? 2? 3? May I ask what you thought about 2 liters of 80% vodka? Antiseptic. It's good. Mm-hmm. Kata was important. Mm-hmm. So, I have a great surprise for you. Sunglasses. I have a great surprise for you. What is most important is the Schminka mirror. You were laughing about it. I was actually tricking you, and you were falling into the trick. You thought the most important thing was I somehow have to walk and get to the next settlement. Therefore, the map was important. The compass was very important for you, and so on. But experts on survival have stated that when you are in such a situation, it's very dangerous to walk. You lose too much water. And it's questionable if you reach the goal. It is better you stay where you are, because you went on a flight, and we live in the modern world, that flight was announced. People found out you didn't arrive. So they will send other airplanes or even helicopters to check where you are. And then that's are you best stay where you are, and you go with your cosmetic mirror, and you obviously don't, you know, only Hare Krishna, we don't need to talk about this. But you make signals so that people find out. The second most important thing is a big coat, because the desert nights tend to become extremely cold. The third important thing is, I think you have had it also, 1 liter of water per person. What is absolutely not good is a box of 1,000 salt tablets. It's a myth that this keeps the water in the body. Also, 2 liters of 80% vodka are extremely dangerous, and you usually also don't need a box with medical, I can't really say what it is. I have it in German here. Mulbinden, with this thing, because even if something should happen in the desert, you're not getting infected because it's so hot there. No problem. What you should also use is your parachute. Why? For the heat, yes. And it's also nice to spread it out so that you can be seen. It's also good to have a revolver to make some noise. Bang, bang, bang. It's also good to have a raincoat. Why? Because you can put the raincoat over the desert and collect water. Even if you want to go very wild, you can... Anyways, this is a temple room. So, the reason why I wanted to make this experiment to you is I wanted you to show that usually we think in one way, which is wrong. In this case, we thought of, you know, moving somewhere to get help. It's a wrong concept, and it can even bring you dead. The death into your life very fast. You need another concept. In the same way, if you want to deal with death, you need another concept than the one which is taught in the Western civilization. One, I want to give you the text of an interview. Once, it so happened that Death, in his personified form, was interviewed. Who are you? I am an illusion, which is only there for those who have forgotten the absolute truth, who have forgotten that they are eternal souls and that they are part and parcel of God. Yasam Lash. I am a lie. I don't exist. I'm only there for those who are in Maya. What do you think about this interview? Something to think about, isn't it? Death does not exist. As long as you think that death exists, as long as you are spiritually not yet mature, then death will be a horrifying thing. But if you make a paradigm shift, everyone smiles because this is always the word of Sridhar Maharaj and other merciful Vaishnavas who educate us. If you begin to think in a different way, you will not have any fear of death. But you need to learn this. See, you failed one test, living or death, and you can, you have to now think about how to have the right test going on, or make the right test. Okay, this was an exercise which I found quite useful. Please take your pieces of paper and try it with your friends. You will see most probably they make the same mistake. I'm not sure, Dharan Udava, you were saying the cosmetic mirror. Did you have the right thing in mind, or did you just challenge it? Sandarananda. Yes, your own idea? Very good. Sandarananda is very intelligent. But when I made the experiment, I must tell you, I also had the wrong idea. I thought a knife is also good because you could... anyways, that's even the right idea. But I thought I would walk. Hare Krishna. Now, I want to play you a song by Sri Vishnupad. Keep in mind that this song is very relevant because he is not... he wrote it when he was very, very ill, and we were fearing the verses. Also, now, just a little while ago, two, three days ago or so, he again became very ill, but I have good news. He is now quite healthy. He has to recuperate, but he's, it seems, out of the danger area where we have to fear for his life. That is no longer there. So please hear it. It's important that the reason why we play it to you is to show you how a devotee thinks about, a great devotee thinks about death. Because this will be the main discussion of today. We will have it on the screen for you, and Tat Purusha will play it now. We have it in English so that you can follow along, and in the translation. Maybe we should make it a little... just a little higher, maybe. Very good, yeah. very moving song, I think, which has helped us to think a little bit about our own days and as it appears. Now, today, I would like to start with telling you what one should do when a person has left his or her body. There are two possibilities. I will talk of the possibility which is the one which we like to think of the most, that is someone who has left his or her body at a holy place, like Vrindavan or Sridhar Mayapur. All the things which I'm talking about now can only be done there, but most of the things can also be done here in the West. The most important thing is when the person has left, that we understand he has continued onwards in his journey. He is not really dead. His body is dead. In Sanskrit you say, Ganga Praiti Prapti Hoite. He has gone to the holy Ganga. What this means is that we put the body inside the Ganga because he will now take his last bath in the Ganga. We can't, if we are here, we should also bathe the body. That's respectfully done, because he is now, after quite a struggle, a physical struggle, a long walk, so to say, his body is a little sweaty and dirty, so we wash it. Matajis will wash the bodies of their god sister or their, you know, another Mataji, and men will wash the bodies of men. The men are advised to show their lamentation. You should cry at this time. It's very important, because although the person has not died, he has left us forever. It is said, just like you shouldn't keep urine or the excrement in the body, tears and emotions should now be released. They should come out. You can cry like anything. Then the sikha for men, it is kept open. Don't put a knot in the sikha. It is a sign of lamentation. The body is bathed, fresh tilak is put on the dead body, and a nice kantimala. And also, because the liquids of the body will come out, it's good if you put a little wool or cotton into the nose holes, so that no one will be shocked when all of a sudden these things come out. Very often, we should place a Hari Nam Chada over the body. That's Chada with the holy names of the Lord. Then we should put him on a stretcher. Do you know what is a stretcher? Yes. Where you? How do you say? Yes. Then you carry him to the temple where he used to go. You carry him with his feet in front. Then you circumambulate with a stretcher where that person is on. You circumambulate the temple, but you go in the opposite direction which you usually go. Usually you go clockwise, and now you go anti-clockwise. Why? Because the person is on the other side. He sees it in a mirrored way, in a reflected way. Mm. It's on the other side of the bank. Mm-hmm. Then if he has died in Vrindavan, you take dust and throw it over the dead body, because the dust of Vrindavan is special. Krishna has walked over this dust, and it is it has touched the lotus feet of the Lord. Then you bring him to the cremation field. The cremation field in Sanskrit is called Svagadvara. Svaga means the heavens, and Dvara means the gate, gate to the heavens. Svagadvara. You give him another bath in the Ganga water. You know the cremation field is usually at the Ganga or Yamuna in Vrindavan. And you put some tulsi and put him on wood. If it ever happens to you, you can call me. I can tell you how to put the wood. You do it first this direction, then this direction, and then again this direction. Then you put the dead body on, and you cover it with wood. And you can use also some sandalwood so that the fragrance is very pleasing. Then the oldest son or someone comes and puts fire to the pyre. Pyre means this wood heap. Yes, then he comes, the oldest son, and crushes the skull, because the skull will not really burn so easily. So he takes a stick and it makes a big plong, and then it is burned. I can imagine for a Western person this is not an easy activity. What is also done at that time is that a clay pot is taken. Then there's a little bowl on the clay top and a banana inside. This clay pot represents the body, and the banana is identical with the soul. So the oldest son comes with a stick and breaks the pot. Puff! Because just like death has broken, so to say, the body, you are now breaking the clay pot. Just like the air in the clay pot now goes out of the pot, in the same way the soul has left the material body and continues onwards. And they all lament, they can cry, and so on. Then at one time they make a big drawing of a circle, and they write down Krishna Mara. Mara means dead. Now, because the person sees it in a reflected way, the dying person sees Rama. It encourages him to go onwards in his journey. And then the people go back into the house and have different mourning periods. So when a devotee dies in our movement for Krishna consciousness, what we can do is we can bathe the body, decorate it with fresh tilak and everything, and make also on the stretcher a journey around the house, the temple, I mean, where he worshipped. Then we can give the body to the cremation fire, take the ashes, and when someone goes on parikrama or visits the holy places in India, he or she can take this box of ashes and put it in the Ganga. That's very auspicious, even after the soul has left. Before death and so on, we have this. I remember one time, last time, I was in the Ganga going to Kanainathashala on the boat, and then a devotee, no, it was not, we went to Ritudvip. Then the devotee just had a plastic bag and a little box, and I thought maybe you are now distributing prasadam. But he opened the box and it was all white, and he was very serious, and he requested us, please sing the Hare Krishna mantra. We started immediately knowing what it was, and he just, while the boat was driving,